following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by Miller Lite, CDW, and Ford.
And hi again, everybody. Jeff Joniak joining you here on Bears All Access with my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, the 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. He is in Hawaii, still enjoying his time away on sabbatical. That's what I'm calling it anyway, Tom.
Well, I appreciate whatever you call it, Big Jeff. You know, whether it's a sabbatical or a vacation, you know, it's a great opportunity to be out here. But, you know, the more we talk about football, the more you start talking about mini camps and, you know, some of the free agents and the incoming rookies, you know, football kind of takes over. And so it's starting to get into that frame of mind.
And he's always in the frame of mind of football. The former Bears quarterback, Jim Miller, joining us from his Michigan home. From SiriusXM, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. Have you been on vacation or what?
No, I have. I've taken a couple 3-day weekends. Obviously, after the draft, I've taken a couple of those, so that's been nice. But no, back at it 5 days a week, and here I am with you guys tonight. So I love it, and it's a great time of the year because you know already got the mini camps the OTAs, and then of course the mini camps that'll really clear it up, and you already see some injuries. How about that? Fozzie Whitaker goes down. Yeah. With Carolina, already has a torn ACL, so cross your fingers, Bears fans. We don't need that injury bug hitting the team this year.
Oh, Big Jim, don't even mention it. Don't be giving him the whammy. Holy smokes. You know, I saw that today, and ordinarily, you know, you look at that and say, okay, that's just part of the process and whatnot. But, you know, you've heard horror stories over the years about rookie minicamp even, and certainly during OTAs, guys have damaged, you know, their knees and whatnot, and it certainly happened to the Bears as well. And then you get to training camp, and I always say this. All I really want to get out of training camp is the fellas come out healthy so you can make your decisions and you go into the first week of the season as full strength as possible. And I think that carries through to this as well. Yeah. But we are excited about it.
You know, Jeff, Jim, but look at Teddy Bridgewater when he hurt his knee. The biggest reaction to that was it was a non-contact drill, not even in pads. Just doing something as innocently as dropping back had that type of destructive factor on his knee. So it's unpredictable, and it's the unfortunate side of sports. But I think everybody that challenges themselves with choosing this for a living, they understand it.
Yeah, well, and you look at a lot of these rookies, a lot of teams hold these guys back a little bit because they have been more training for the Underwear Olympics, which is the NFL Combine, and they kind of somewhat have to transition them slowly, you know, not do too much. And I've talked to a couple of GMs over the past couple of weeks say, yeah, we don't want them to do too much. We will do some on-the-field work, but we're going to kind of build them in and work up the workload. And, you know, and I still believe this, and maybe Tom agrees or disagrees. I don't think the modern-day player, and I know these guys are you know, take care of their bodies and all those things and the lifts and all that. I just don't know how stressed their bodies are to prepare for what there is expected of them on Sunday. I really believe it because you've seen a lot of the injuries, and it wasn't just the Bears. There were other teams that had significant injuries, and Tom, I wonder that if these bodies are ready for the stress loads of really what football asks their bodies to do.
Yeah, I think that's part of the process of growing up through your career is you're never going to be as strong as you're ultimately going to be as an adult throughout your NFL career, but it's part of the process. And, you know, when I look at a guy, you know, there's a lot of conversation about out here about the greatness of LeBron James in comparison to Michael Jordan. But if those guys don't invest totally into the offseason, they're never going to get what they're getting out of their bodies during the regular season for such a sustained period of time. And I think that's from the moment you're drafted to you choose this for a living, the commitment to the offseason and everything, it better be in trying to get yourself more prepared for the struggles of the regular season.
Well, you guys mentioned the physical stress. How about the mental aspect? Are they ready for the mental aspect of it all?
That's a great question. You know, Jim, you got to kind of ponder it for a second, because I don't think the challenge mentally is ever going to be like it has been before. You know, the challenge they were going through their college classes and into the football side of it is not what's going to be expected out of academically on the football side of up until this year.
Well, I'd say this. I'd say this. I was not ready for the mental toughness part. I mean, I think I was mentally tough coming out of Michigan State, but I wasn't prepared for what it needs to be at the NFL level, especially at my position. Well, just, just the pressures of being a quarterback. Not that, you know, there isn't pressure for any other player. I just mean the catcalls, right? The backup quarterback's always kind of the more important guy in the town. And that's true anywhere I played. Like, when I was in Pittsburgh, here Neil O'Donnell leads us to the Super Bowl, everybody's screaming for me and Mike Tomczak. Played down in Jacksonville, everybody was screaming for Rob Johnson and anybody but Mark Brunell. You know, and that happens anywhere you play. You know, I really believe that. So, but I do think you've got to be mentally tougher to play quarterback in the NFL. You got to have thick skin. I've always described it as Teflon, and you can learn to do it. When anybody says something, it just doesn't faze you at all. Alex Smith, to me, is the greatest example. Oh, Look how he got run out of town in San Fran. Nobody really in Kansas City really respected him when he came there, and that guy's just Teflon, just keeps on playing, and lo and behold, now is a Washington Redskins. To me, he's kind of the epitome of that. That guy has learned to be mentally tough, and nothing phases him, and you just go about your business and continue to play.
Terrific example as we take our first break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, here with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Chicago Bear defensive lineman Roy Robertson-Harris, an interesting figure in this Bears defense, after this break here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. Glad you're with us, everybody. Bears football around the corner with minicamp starting tomorrow for the rookies, with Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and Jim Miller here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, with you until 7 o'clock tonight. And now joined by Chicago Bear defensive lineman Roy Robertson-Harris, the big fella out of UTEP, undrafted in 2016, got on the field in 2017, and made his presence felt. Big fella, how you doing?
How you doing, guys? What's going
Fantastic. On? Thank you for taking the time to join us. What has your offseason been like? What have you been working on? How's your body molding into this new frame of yours at 6'7" and 294, adding all that weight after college and last year and becoming a defensive lineman from that outside linebacker position? Are you raring ready to go?
Yes, sir. Definitely a huge change compared to college, obviously, you know, 50 pounds heavier. But been doing a lot of Pilates and yoga. That's been helping me, you know, get my flexibility better, doing the running that we got going with the new head strength coach. It's been really helping me, you know, get faster, move better. So holding on to the weight for a year, playing with it for a full season has definitely helped me, and just trying to get better every day.
Roy, for me, I don't know if there's a player I'm more excited to see develop than you. And I was reading some articles about you, and it says diamond in the rough, secret weapon, intriguing prospect with potential. Where are you? Because I tell you, 6'7", 294, you're going to be 25 years old in July, like Jeff just said. So where are you at this stage of your game at defensive end?
Well, you know, it's every day I'm just trying to get better. I'm doing, you know, what coaches are asking me to do. You know, the diamond in the rough, all that stuff you see in the articles, that's all well, that's all good to see. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just have to focus on, you know, just grinding, getting better every day, working on my technique, anything that's going to help me become a better player, and anything that's going to help me, you know, do as much as I can to help this team win.
Hey, Roy, Jim Miller here. Good to talk to you, my friend. And take our listeners through the technique. What is it for you? Is it hand placement in the run game? I mean, talk about all those things that you're having to learn at the defensive end position, and really, because, you know, about setting the edge and all those things, your hands are really important with really giving you the edge off the ball at that defensive end spot.
Right. So a lot of people think, you know, I was an outside linebacker in college. I was a defensive end in college. The difference was just the scheme. I played more outside, you know, a true four down end. Now I'm playing the 3-4 end spot, so I'm obviously playing more inside. The only difference is, you know, I'm taking on more double teams, playing in the trenches more. Don't really have to set the edge as much because we've got guys like Acho and Floyd. So not really taking on tackles. I'm more so taking on the guards and playing double team techniques. Back in college, I was taking on tight ends and tackles. But just the technique-wise, you know, because I'm a lighter guy, I'm the lightest in the room, technique is everything for me. I don't have a huge anchor compared to Akeem and Bull. You know, they're a little bit heavier than I am. So technique for me is everything, getting my hands on guys. And, you know, hand placement is everything. Footwork is everything because I am the smaller guy in the room, and I have to use that to my advantage.
This is Bears All Access here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, brought to you by IGS Energy with Roy Robertson-Harris, the third-year Chicago Bear. You mentioned lightest guy in the room. Did they want to keep you at the weight you're at, or do you ever see yourself becoming that 300, 305-pound player? What do you think?
I would love to be under 300 pounds. I would say just because, you know, I'm still playing special teams. I do like that, you know, I'm heavier than, you know, what I'm used to playing at, but I feel like I can still run. I feel like I still have athleticism. You know, 300 pounds, I don't know if I would enjoy being in the 300 club, but, you know, playing special teams, I still need to stay a little bit lighter than 300 so I can be able to move and, you know, run as much as I need to run. So definitely don't think they'll ask me to be over 300 pounds anytime soon.
You know, Roy, I don't think you need to gain any more weight. You're a big guy anyways, but isn't your length really your asset, especially if you're going inside against guards that are a little bit shorter and stouter, or even edge rushing on the outside of an offensive tackle? Your productivity is going to come with your length, not as much as your weight. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir. And, you know, it goes back to me talking about hand placement. You know, length is nothing if, you know, your technique isn't all there. So that's why I'm just trying to work on my technique and my hand placement. That way I can use my length to my advantage, and I think that'll help me in the long run.
When you look at the defense, we talked about that. It's going to remain consistent, obviously, with Vic Fangio there and how you guys grow. Certainly you're adding new pieces like Roquan Smith, who was the first-round draft pick here at the draft. But what do you think is different in terms of the change at the head coaching spot? Just the excitement, the energy that really seems to be coming out of Hallis Hall right now with Coach Nagy.
There's a lot of positivity around the building. You can see it in the energy. Every morning we get to work, everyone seems like, you know, it's just, we're excited about the year. Obviously nothing has changed on our side of the ball. So a lot of the stuff we're doing is all technique stuff. And it's a lot of review as far as, you know, getting in the playbook. But it's just a lot of positivity around the building. You can see it on guys' faces every time we get to work, every drill we do, every workout we do. There's just a lot of smiles, and everyone's ready to get back into playing ball again.
Roy Robertson-Harris, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. A few more minutes with the Bears defensive lineman. Before anyone even realized what you were all about as a player, because you had 16 and that illness that knocked you out of 16, you couldn't get on the field. You were working hard back behind the scenes, getting stronger, adding your weight and so forth. But it was Leonard Floyd who kept whispering in my ear about Roy Robertson-Harris, watch this guy. And you guys have developed a very tight friendship. That being said, do you believe he's also very close to becoming a dominant edge rusher? Because they felt that was the case before he got injured last season.
He already is. He's one of the fastest defensive ends I've ever played with. Our outside linebacker, you know, where I come from as far as defense goes, he's a defensive end. He's one of the fastest defensive players I've ever played with. He sets the edge. He rushes. He, you know, doesn't take much for him to just run around that corner and get to the quarterback. He does a very good job at getting to the quarterback. He's fast to the ball, puts a lot of effort into everything. I think he's going to be one of the greats when he's done playing.
You know, Roy, it's interesting because your defensive line coach brings a lot of energy to practice, and even during the downtime you have, he requires you guys to do some drills. but this guy's an ex-quarterback. How do you think that personality sets in with you guys of coming with the energy Jay Rodgers has to bring it on the field as a D-line coach?
He's all about his energy. Every day he shows a lot of positivity and a lot of that energy you're talking about, and it gets us to practice, and you know, it gives us excitement about, you know, getting to work and working on the technique stuff that we get to. You know, I really enjoy practice when we're out there with Jay. He's a great guy, great coach, and I think we're going to continue to do great things with him.
Last one for me is just in terms of goals. I know you guys set goals as a defense, and last year it was great. You know, even with the injuries, top 10 defense. Look at the sacks. Look at the turnovers. The defense was able to create. And you know, you look at some of the good ones over there. Even Baltimore last year, they shut out a couple teams. I mean, do you think this Bears defense is capable of getting top five? You know, something like that with where you think this defense can go?
Oh yes, sir, absolutely. The way coaches are out is playing, I think we're in the right direction. We just got to keep grinding and take everything a day at a time, a game at a time, and we'll get where we want to go.
Roy Robertson-Harris, our guest tonight, a couple of sacks last season among his 212 defensive snaps. Got some playing time and now ready to – that's your platform, man. Now jump into the next level, right? You got a great opportunity.
Yes, sir.
And we really thank you for your time tonight. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you play this season.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you all having me.
You too, man. Good luck to you.
Roy Robertson-Harris. We'll talk about it more with you as well if you care to give us a call. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, Jim Miller on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Run the best 5K course in the city at the PNC. Chicago Bears 5K and cross the finish line out of the field or at Soldier Field. And the race is Saturday, June 23rd. You can register right now at chicagobears.com/5K. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score until 7 o'clock tonight. You can give us a call, 312-644-6767. On the eve of the Bears rookie minicamp, and it just was a couple of years removed from Roy Robertson-Harris, fellas, being an undrafted guy that former Bears defensive coach Clint Hurt and the scout Francis St. Paul were very high on. And, you know, he's one of these guys, the cliche of he looks good walking off the bus, but he looked better than that, too, last year, man. He's got a lot of potential. I know, Tom, you've been all over that. Almost every show you bring him up.
Right, you know, he's got that Israel Adonijé type of ability in him where he can play special teams. He's got that type of athleticism to run down with speed or, you know, and get into a blocking position. But, you know, Jeff, I think when we looked at Adrian Amos last season and what he had to do and what Kyle Fuller had to do, he's got that type of ability to impact the defense because no one's name is etched in stone in that defensive end position as a starter other than Akeem Hicks. So Roy Robertson-Harris, yes, I mentioned all those intriguing prospects, secret weapon, diamond in the rough. He can be the starter on day one and hold and maintain that position. He's got the size to do it. He's got the length to do it. And now he just needs the good fortune to be at practice every day.
Yeah, I think for him, he's just going to continue to grow. I mean, there's been some good players coming out of UTEP lately. Here he's an undrafted free. I mean, think of Will Hernandez. I mean, he just got drafted by the Giants as well. But, you know, I just think for him, as he mentioned, it's more the technique. You know, he was in a 4-3 defensive end down there, so it is more setting the edge and things like that. Now he's getting more used to the 2-gap type of stuff where he'll be taking on stronger into, you know, basically when you look at the tackle and the guard that potentially could be, you know, coming out on him when he's in that 5 technique. So he'll get there. He's just got to bust his fanny, get in the weight room, get a little stronger, learn those techniques a little bit better. But I'm with Tom. I think he's a guy that I know they were talking very high of last year. And so we'll see where his talent level can go if he continues to work.
He's just learning the game, too, to be honest, because he didn't start playing until he was 12 years old in Oakland. But then, you know, he didn't start playing defense until his freshman year of high school. He was a tight end as well. And at that, as you mentioned, at UTEP, he was in a 4-2-5 defense that they played back in those days. And he's just, you know, getting to know him late last season, he's a really interesting guy. He's very serious about football, number one, which is a prerequisite right now for Ryan Pace to find the guys that love the game and want to get better, and he's a perfect example. To gain that much weight to want to play at this level.
He's only going to be 25 in July. Yeah. This kid's, this guy's been around the NFL facilities now for 3 years, and he's only going to be 25. And so maybe this is when a guy starts dragging more confidence into the locker room with him, and that they drags that confidence out in the practice field with him. And then you start seeing him, you know, maintaining, you know, his battles and stuff out there. He's going to be a guy that Bears fans should pay attention to.
He's got that Oakland toughness to him, too. Grew up in Oakland. He's a first cousin of former All-Pro guard Carl Nix, so a little bit of that in the blood as well. All right, let's shift gears, fellas. As we talk about rookie minicamp, aside from the obvious and just getting a chance to see these guys in person for the first time in Bears colors and see how they run around, what do you respectively look for in the early days of the three-day rookie minicamp before they transition into OTAs with the veterans?
I like the challenge to them mentally, because we just talked about it the last segment, that how important it is to mentally know the game, because these physical, you know, measurements that they'll take of these guys in the mini camp, they're all coachable. Okay, let's look at this guy in film. Hey, when he gets back, we got to get him in to a better stance. When this receiver comes back, we have to make sure that he's pushing off with the right foot. Although those things are correctable. But if you go out there and after 3 or 4 days hearing the same information and you go out there and keep making those mental mistakes, that's when a little bit of a red flag goes up. And Coach Stanfield used to have a lot of different ways he used to go and judge that. The first thing we did in meetings as an offensive line is we read out loud one guy at a time. And he kind of got an indication of confidence and different abilities you had just through something that simple that carries out onto the field.
Yeah, it's about, you know, can the guys handle, you know, and everybody learns differently. I'm not saying that. You know, you can learn from the board work, obviously the film work, the playbook work in terms of the downloads of what you're asked. It's a lot of volume of information, and certainly the communication aspect of it. How much can you retain early? And as Tom mentioned, and still go out and be able to apply what you've learned, because you want to, you know, keep on clicking at a pretty high rate in terms of your, you know, I don't want to say garbage in, garbage out, but what is taught you and then how you got to go out and basically be able to apply it. So I just think it's really just the volume of it, the pace of it. And I think that's something all rookies have to go through to train themselves of really that pace for their whole NFL career.
We're going to jump on the phone. I want to ask you something about how you learned, Jim, what you were best at or how you felt it was easier for you. But we're going to go to Rockford and Mike patiently waiting to join us here. 312-644-6767 if you have any questions for Tom and Jim and I tonight. Let's go to Mike in Rockford. Mike?
Well, Steve, my call, guys. I'm excited about Daniels coming in as either center or guard, but Is it easier time for a center to move to guard or a guard to move to center? I wasn't excited about the way Cody Whitehair stamping the ball, especially the long shot last year. And I just want your thoughts on that.
You know, Mike, it's a good question. For me personally, I felt a lot more confident and a lot stronger as a player out of the guard position because I had a lot more burst in me. When you look at guys with the quickness of Jay Hilgenberg and Olin Krutz and stuff, those guys are so quick in snapping the ball and getting their hands against their opponent, they're better and they're more fit for that position. I think when you got a guy like Cody or Daniels, you're unique. I think they both have equal skill to play both positions. Maybe you take a little bit off of Daniels' plate by just having him play guard and be responsible for learning his own assignments there before you're thinking about snap count, audible, change in protection, snapping the ball correctly, whether it's under center or shotgun. There's a lot more details that you could take off the plate and just kind of feed Daniels those as his career progresses.
Big Jim?
Tom's the offensive line expert. I would say this, because what Cody did at guard early and where Hronis Grassu was at and with the injury and Cody had to kick over, I think he's been brilliant. To me, Daniels can do both. I mean, he is a thick-legged offensive lineman. Has played guard and center. I think some prefer him at center, but I can tell you this. You know who he reminds me of a lot of, just how he moves, is Casey Wigman If you remember Casey, how quick he was in terms, and Casey played 16 years, obviously some for the Bears and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think he's got to get a little bit stronger in terms of James Daniels. And I wonder, you know, some thought he dropped because I know he had some knee issues early there at Iowa. But I think he's going to be a solid pick. I agree with Tom. I think he's going to probably start out at guard and then potentially we'll see what happens, but could always slide over to center where he could learn all those calls and be a pretty good center as well.
All right, Casey Wegman, you had a great chance to play here long-term, but a gentleman by the name of Olin Krutz was here, so had really a bounty right there. Speaking of James Daniels, along with some others in the Bears draft class, they've all agreed to terms and signed their first NFL contracts just moments ago. Got information that James Daniels, Anthony Miller, the second-round wide receiver, agreeing to deals today in advance of tomorrow's minicamp. And Joel Iabuniwe, Bilal Nichols, the fifth-rounder, his agent had released that earlier today that he had agreed a deal. Kylie Fitz, the outside linebacker prospect out of BYU, and Javon Wims of Georgia. So everybody good to go except for the first-round pick, Roquan Smith, and that'll be taken care of in short order as well. A lot of teams getting a lot done right away. It's really, Jim and Tom, somewhat of a no-brainer situation right now the way it's set up, right?
Oh, I think it's great for these mini camps to make sure you get all this stuff out of the way. And it takes a lot of pressure off the young man because you don't want to be thinking about that all the way leading up until the day training camp begins. Try to get it out of the way, get ready, get everything just balanced before you start training camp, and it's just going to make an easier start to the season.
Yeah, it's really just building the base. You know, that's really what this is a foundation to continue to build from year one to year two, and they're going to get a good base. And a lot of things are going to come quick and fast, and they're going to learn that the pace that the NFL is required and what you have to be able to execute at. So I think pretty much a lot of guys will fall in line. It becomes kind of rote memory because you just get so used to it every day that it becomes a part of the natural process for a lot of players as they continue to grow.
This draft class getting a lot of recognition league-wide. Many have said it's one of the best draft classes, if not the best draft class, depending on whose opinion you happen to believe in. You know, even Roquan Smith, widely regarded as one of the impact defenders, the expectation is already there to be a immediate impact starter for the Bears at inside linebacker and one of the top players that people feel will fit in and move into the right direction. Would you guys concur based on this draft class?
You know, Jeff, I think this. I think there's a lot that is expected of Roquan Smith, where he was drafted and how good he was as a college player to come out here and insert himself and not only take over that position, but, you know, fit in nicely. But, you know, it's as important as Roy Robertson Harris to succeed as it is as Roquan Smith. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the production if Roy Robertson Harris has the success he has the ability to have, and if Roquan Smith comes in here and has the you know, the success he's expected to have.
Well, you know, in every year's class, I mean, and I know this is a decorated class and there's high expectation, but you look at, you know, it's just very rare that you have a class, say, like what New Orleans did last year. Think about New Orleans. I mean, their 32nd pick was a starter. I mean, they drafted Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, he was a starter. They had literally four to five guys that really they got significant contributions on that became pretty much every down players for the New Orleans Saints. So, granted, they lost in the NFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game from that standpoint, or divisional round, excuse me, because Minnesota moved on. But you know, it was a freak play. But to have that type of impact of 4 to 5 players of your rookie draft class is incredible. You know, I don't expect that. I mean, normally you look at the first round, and Pat and I went through this the other day. There was maybe 15 guys that had an impact, you know, that really became significant starters. I think we all expect that of Roquan Smith, but you look at some other guys that it just did not work out. So, you know, they have yet to play a game yet. We'll see what these guys, if they prepare themselves. But I think if, you know, as for I mentioned, a decorated class, if we can get 3 to 4, and I expect Roquan, Daniels, and Miller to have a, immediate impact. If those three can come in and make significant contributions, that is really quickly how, or at least it bodes well for how quickly the Bears could potentially turn around this football team.
I think because it's a young team, it's definitely the competition is going to be there for guys. They're going to get a golden opportunity to make impacts. And obviously, the special teams angle, you can become an impact player that way too. So, you know, who knows? You're right. We'll know more in 3 years, but it is sure fun to talk about. And all the other additions that this team has made in free agency, coupled with that. And, you know, we're going to get a look at this undrafted class. They have not announced yet who exactly is going to be at minicamp. We'll find out tomorrow when the roster gets issued out. But there'll be tryout guys. There'll be probably a few veteran tryout guys. There always is in camp. And then your undrafted draft class, a rookie class. And they invested, are going to have a number of them, a large number of them, because they had a lot of openings on this 90-man roster. So it's going to be fun to look at how they all move together on this field. And you'll have some surprises. There always are along the way. Here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Hey, sign your child up for a fun, non-contact Chicago Bears youth football camp brought to you by Gatorade and Athletico Physical Therapy. Visit www.bearscamps.com to save $50 today. With Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and Jim Miller with you on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score here on Bears All Access. With you until 7 o'clock tonight. Earlier, we heard from Roy Robertson Harris, kind enough to join us. The third-year Bear defensive end will fit in that rotation and compete for a starting job with Jonathan Bullard. And you got Akeem Hicks and the big fella Bilal coming over in the NFL draft. And we just mentioned moments ago, 6 of the 7 NFL rookie draft picks for the Bears are signed, sealed, and delivered. They'll be at rookie minicamp tomorrow, along with Roquan Smith, the number one pick yet to sign, but that shouldn't be too big of an issue for the Bears' first-round pick. You know, it'll be exciting to see him. Every training camp, or excuse me, every offseason that I've ever been a part of in this Bears franchise, you're always super excited to see the first-rounders, obviously. And then you take time, look at that, and then you look at the other guys through Saturday and Sunday, and you start to get a picture of at least what they can do athletically when you see them, you know, running around here as opposed to on tape.
Yeah, it's awesome to see first-rounders coming every year, but it's interesting, you know, they got a lot of pressure. There's a lot of scrutiny they face coming into a locker room. You know, they kind of carry a little bit more expectations with them when you're the first-rounder. But, you know, even the last segment, and Jeff, you bring it up all the time, this is a draft class that you could possibly have drafted three starters. So as much as Roquan's going to carry a lot of weight into that locker room with him because he is a first-rounder, there's going to be a couple of other guys that are going to carry a little bit of cachet in there with him because, first of all, they need help with the receiver position. And if you could develop another young starter like Daniels at the offensive line and then you have other youth on your side and never count a guy like Hronas Grasu out because I think he's done a lot of good things to help himself in the offseason. I think it's interesting when your rookie minicamp's coming out and at least three of them have starting expectations and hopes immediately.
Yeah, and it's especially for Roquan. He was great to talk to last week when he joined us on the program, but he seems to understand. He's got the maturity and understands that, you know, when you draft a first-round linebacker in Chicago, it's just different. I mean, I think we all know the standard, the expectation, everything that's involved. It's just there's just more hype with it. It was like that with Urlacher and those young linebackers that the Bears drafted back then, and I think it's going to be that way for Roquan Smith. And I think it's not too big for him to really take advantage of that. You know, I think he understands it with what he talked to us about, and there's maturity around him. And then for me, the guy who I love is Anthony Miller, from the wide receiver from Memphis, because I just think there's an attitude with him. Like, we interviewed him at the NFL Combine. I'm telling you, for the listeners out there, the Bears, he is deadly serious,
yes,
man.
Yes, he is.
This guy wants to do some significant damage, and he wants his name to mean something in the National Football League. So I just really like his demeanor and go-getter attitude.
Well, I just like the fact he feels he's not taking the foot off the gas at all.
Yeah.
You know, now that he's made it to the NFL, you haven't made it until you made a career out of it. And that's the type of thinkers that become these guys that somehow are overlooked along the way for whatever reason. They might have some deficiencies in their game, but they rise above it. Or they happen to be playing with a quarterback that makes them better. And we've seen that, obviously, with the great quarterbacks in the league. And the hope here is that Mitchell Trubisky is going to make everybody better as well as he improves and he grows with this team. And I guess that's the exciting part for me, as an observer of this and calling these games is that this is the beginning of something. And whatever it is, and I think the arrow is significantly going up. I think it's very exciting for everybody to break it down and talk about it. But you want these guys that have that mental toughness. And I think, going back to Roquan, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, when you're a leader in college, and there's a reason teams like, you know, the Patriots, for example, they draft captains. And I think the Bears have several captains in this draft class as well, and he's one of them, and he says he's a natural-born leader. Now, he has to prove it. You just can't say it, but I do believe his demeanor exemplifies exactly what a leader could ultimately become. I go back to 2000, fellas. Mike Brown, minicamp, taking over the whole proceedings, and he did so at the veteran minicamp as well. He was an instant impact leader. And I'm looking for a guy like this to be the same.
I think that's what you're going to get out of Roquan. I think that, you know, it's not something that he was just discovered this year in his leadership ability. Since the beginning of him playing sports in high school and he is being evaluated by college recruiters, one thing that captured their attention was his leadership skills and his leadership desires at a high school level amongst your peers, and that's what they admired about him. They brought that same part of his game with him to the college level, went to the highest level in college football in Division I, and brought his leadership skills with him throughout his time at Georgia. And again, this is not something he's developed in the last year. This is something that's been impressing people for a long time. So I think when you have a guy that can have that type of influence in the locker room, you know, not only will it be important on the field, but the development, the camaraderie, the team you're going to develop after a 3-13 season, a new coaching staff, you need that type of player in the locker room.
And I think it's always important that you're able to back it up. Both these guys can back it up. You know, when I look at Anthony Miller, just how he plays, you know, it just, like I said, they got some dog in them. You know, I remember Marty Booker was like that. Marty Booker had dog in him, you know, with this, hey, man, give me the ball. I'm going to make a play here. And I think that's kind of like how Anthony Miller plays, and guys rally around that. And I think for Roquan, I mean, that guy is always around the football, and you get nothing but fired up. You know, that's how you raise the level of play of your teammates. And I just think how they play and the speed at which they play and then their production, which backs it up, you know, all around, it just inspires your teammates to try and reach and play at that level and with the same type of energy and passion that these young players, I think, will display.
Hey, Jim, when you were a quarterback, no matter what team it was, no matter what the talent was at those wide receiver spots, and you're going through your progressions and whatnot, when you needed a bailout,
yeah,
you know things are breaking down, you're scrambling out of there with your great athleticism at quarterback, and that was a little shot. You did have it. But who were your bailout? Were you looking for the bailout guys that you knew were mentally tough in those clutch situations?
Yeah, I thought, you know, early.
Who were they?
Bobby Engram was fantastic. Bobby Engram was a great, he knew how to read coverages, and he knew how to get open. You know, he's just very talented from that standpoint. I just always knew what he was thinking. And then prior to that 2001 season, Dez White and Marty Booker, they showed up every day. I give them credit. We'd meet there at Hallis Hall, and we'd just go through the route tree every single day, and I got to know every nuance of how Marty dropped, you know, how he ran the routes, dropped his fanny, say, on an out route or an 18-yard comeback or an in cut, and just every body movement they made, I just got to know him real well. And so it got to the point where I just knew for Marty, you know, and it inspired me as a teammate. It's like, man, I just know exactly what this guy's going to do, and he's going to make the play for our football team. You know, I think Mitchell Trubisky, I think we all would agree, he missed that last year. He did not have that last year. I don't think any Bears quarterback had that last year. Who's the guy who's got the dog that you're going to say, hey, this guy's going to go, he's my go-to guy. He's going to make the play for me, no matter what coverage it is or what's going on. And that's been missing. And I think, you know, for Mitchell, he's going to get that. I think, you know, the young receivers that they brought in, I do. I think all these guys have that kind of demeanor, from Miller to Robinson, you know, who they picked up from Jacksonville. Gabriel, I just think they all got that it about them. They just, you know, they really got a little dog to them, and I think Mitchell's really going to love that, and why he's going to grow in confidence huge at the quarterback spot.
Tom, I always bring up what you say. You know, I'd rather have the dog in them and have that competitiveness and they have the skill set, but maybe they're not the superstar skill set that you sometimes get enamored with. Then you have the guy that, you know, hey, you know, it's all about me. I don't want that.
Well, you know, Jeff, I think whenever you do an immediate evaluation of everybody, they got to pass the eye test or they have to qualify with the eye test. And there's nothing more disappointing than having a guy that visually has all the qualifications that doesn't live up to the expectations just because of maybe a lack of a work ethic or something. But this is everything that Miller wants to prove everybody wrong. If they, you know, look at you and said, oh, this guy's not the 6'4", 200-plus pound guy that we're looking for. No, but he catches everything. He's the most dominant receiver, you know, in college, and, you know, spill over to the Antonio Brown type of scenario you're building. It's just two guys that don't let an evaluator dictate how successful your work ethic is going to allow you to be at this level.
That's Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak, and we are on Bears All Access. We have one more segment to go. Why don't you dial us up, 312-644-6767. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And this segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, Jim Miller with you on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Our remaining moments of the program, and this week on Inside the Bears, Kyle Long receives the Ed Block Courage Award, and new receiver coach Mike Fury on working again with his former Arena League teammate, head coach Matt Nagy. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. If you're just joining us on the program here tonight, we are telling you that six of the seven Bears draft picks have signed, so they'll be ready to go. They were going to be ready to go anyway tomorrow, but still unsigned is Roquan Smith, but that'll be taken care of in short order. The Bears inside linebacker and number one draft pick, and we were on the air with Roy Robertson-Harris tonight, the Bears defensive end, an intriguing member of this Bears defense, one of the young members that should create a nice rotation up front defensively, fellas, and the addition of Bilal, also from Delaware, that'll be another big guy that has a great frame to work with, albeit not playing against the type of competition that these guys in the SEC play every year, but great potential as well to get at some point this season to become a player of interest.
Well, you know, Jeff, I think that's the biggest need for the Bears defense is the entire front. I think we talk about the four linebackers inside and outside, how you have to develop a team of those guys that are going to see it through the next five, six, seven seasons. But for the overall impact that this defense needs to continue to have, it's going to take the entirety of, you talk about the good rotation there amongst defensive linemen, and then you see what type of that second level four is going to hold it down.
Yeah, that it's, you know, it's just, you know, like any year, you got to continue to gel. You know, you got to become a team. I think it all sounds great right now. You got the excitement of a new coach, and it's exciting times with all these new weapons. But all these players have to learn to work together. They've got to gel together in order to become a winning team. It doesn't just happen. You really have to reach out. You have to learn how to work with one another, and I remember Dick Geron used to always say that, hey, it's, you know, you don't have to like one another, but you have to be willing to work with one another in order to become a good teammate. And I think that's true. I think that's true in every case, and we'll see how this team really gels together here this offseason, because that's going to be a big part of it, how tightly knit they are to trust one another, that each other is going to show up and really go all out for their teammates to get a win.
We do have time for a phone call or two, if you so care to do so. 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access. We're with you until 7 o'clock here tonight. Jim, earlier in the program, you were talking about guys learn different ways. What was your best way, the best quarterback?
Yeah, for me, I really would draw everything out. You know, I just write it out nonstop. And then for me, you know, as soon as I heard the play, whenever they, you know, call in the quarterback QB system, it used to just pop up in my head like a blueprint. You know, almost like how you do, you know, a blueprint to a house, and it's just every single piece of information would just light up in my head, and I just, because I think you got to visually see it, you know, for me, and I think most quarterbacks work that way, they got to visually see it. And I think that helps them really with the recall of it and how they go about reading, you know, a certain play that's called. But for me, it was always drawing them out, and it just would create that blueprint for me to make it a lot easier.
Tom, how about you?
Well, you know, it was different, Jeff, because we had a 600-page notebook that you turn the page from play to play to play. Nowadays, you're just carrying around a tablet, and you can go to an instant in practice, to an instant in a game, or even to the terminology and the pictures of your playbook. So for us, it was a little different, and maybe in a simpler way of life, it made learning a little bit easier because you could turn the page, and if it was slant 24, you could look at every single responsibility against every single defense you could face, and then there is a sentence or two explanation of what your job requirement was in that particular play against certain defenses. So, you know, back in the old school ways of learning for all of us, you carried around a 600-page playbook, and every element was inside that book.
Did you have it down cold, Tom?
Yes, 100%. We did. You know, Jeff, and that's the thing about it is you can't joke about it enough because there's a lot of qualified guys out there, but you cannot make mental errors. And with Coach Stanfeld, that was it. You know, you were given that one chance to make a mental error, but if you did it repeatedly, you had no chance of staying here.
Hey, in here, I'm going to back Tom up. Your offensive lineman? They're the smartest guys on your team. Just a little, look no further than Tom. He's a Golden Domer. You know what I'm saying? So, but they are. They're sharp. Those offensive linemen, some of the smartest guys on your team.
There is something to be said about football intelligence, and Tom definitely has that. Notice the emphasis on football intelligence.
That's right.
Although you are an idea man. I got to give you that.
Well, you know, Jeff, yeah, that is one thing about me. I'm a C student, though. I have a lot of ideas, but I don't accomplish anything.
All right. Well, last year at minicamp, rookie minicamp, the guy who stole the show was Tariq Cohen. Granted, all eyes were on Mitchell Trubisky. Don't get me wrong. But Tariq Cohen stole the show because of his personality. I'll tell you what, there'll probably be a few guys in this class that will take that mantle and run with it as well as we get set for even deeper now into this offseason program with the Bears rookie minicamp over the next 3 days and OTA starting the week after and then leading up to training camp. That's going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate you listening as always. We're brought to you by IGS Energy. I'd like to thank Director of Content Dan Barilli, Coordinating Producer Jordan Tredup, the guys up in the studios at 670 The Score. We really appreciate the work of Shane Reardon and Herb Lawrence. And also for Roy Roberts and Harris tonight joining the program. Thank you for listening, though. Until next week, for Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, PNC, and Ford.